The book of 1 Samuel. We come today to chapter 6. We begin our study in verse 4. I want to begin reading in verse 1. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, "The ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, and said, 'What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us, with what shall we send it to its place?' They said, 'If you send away the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it empty, but by all means return him a guilt offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand does not turn away from you.' And they said, 'What is the guilt offering that we shall return to him?' They answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. For the same plague was upon all of you and upon your lords. And so the tumors were sent by God as a punishment for their sin, and the mice or the rats evidently was the way that God delivered that punishment to them. And by offering these items to God, they were acknowledging that God is the one who sent the plague and that he had every right to send it. 5. So you must make images of your tumors and images of your mice that ravage the land, and give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from off you and your gods and your land. Give glory to God," is what they are told to do. Admitting guilt when you are guilty gives glory to God. It honors God. You know, few things are as disgusting as someone who justifies themselves when everyone, including they themselves, know that they are guilty. And it is true that holiness brings glory to God, but it is also true that confession after you fail also brings glory to God. Verse 6. "Why should you harden your hearts as the Egyptians, and Pharaoh hardened their hearts after he had made sport of them? Did not they let the people go and they departed?" You know, Egypt's big mistake was known across the inhabited world. And Egypt's big mistake was not letting the Israelites go free. And so the Philistine priests say, "Don't make the same mistake that Egypt did." You see, these people knew God's track record. So they knew that their problem would not go away until they did the correct thing, which was repent and send that ark back. They knew the plagues would not stop until they repented, because the plagues did not stop down in Egypt until the Egyptians repented. 7. "Now then, take and prepare a new cart and 2 milk cows upon which there hath never come a yoke, and yoke the cows to the cart, but take their calves home away from them." Cows have to be trained to pull a cart. That does not come automatically. And it is also unnatural for a cow to walk away from her nursing calf. So, if these untrained cows begin to pull this wagon away from their calves, well, that's a double sign. They'll know. Philistines will know this is God moving that cart and accepting their sacrifice. Verse 8. "Take the ark of the Lord and place it on the cart, and put in a box at its side the figures of gold, which you are returning to him as a guilt offering. Then send it off, and let it go its way, and watch." Send it away. Yeah? And if it goes, then you're going to know for sure that it is God who sent these plagues, and it is God accepting your apology, because it just would not happen naturally. If these cows go, the people will know that God is the one who moved them in order to receive the offerings. It says in verse 9, and watch. If it goes up on the way to its own land, to Beth Shemesh, then it is He, it is God, who has done this great harm. But if not, then we shall know that it is not His hand that struck us. It happened to us by chance. See, they're still not 100% sure that God did this to them, this plague. But, as I've already said, if these cows walk away from their hungry calves pulling that wagon that they were not trained to pull, they'll know it was God. 10. So the men did so, and took two milk cows and yoked them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. And they put the ark of the Lord on the cart, and the box with the golden mice, and the images of their tumors. And the cows went straight in the direction of Beth Shemesh along one highway, lowing as they went. They turned neither to the right nor to the left, and the lords of the Philistine went after them as far as the border of Beth Shemesh. These cows were doing the will of God, but they were lowing all the way. Sort of the way God's people can be sometime. You know, they'll do the will of God, but they don't like it too much, kind of low all the way. But they did it, and now the Philistines know. 13. It says, now the people of Beth Shemesh, now those would be Israelites, they were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and when they lifted up their eyes and saw that ark, they rejoiced to see it. They were thrilled. Because remember now, that ark had been in Philistine territory. It had been captured by them for quite some time. And so the return of the ark suggests an easing of God's wrath toward His people Israel. That's why they're so happy. And that's one thing I really appreciate about God. His anger does not drag out. The Bible says His anger is but for a moment, and His favor is for life. When we repent and confess, His anger is gone. We get a fresh start. That is so good to somebody who really chooses to repent. Verse 14. It says, the cart came into the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh and stopped there. A great stone was there, and they split up the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the box that was beside it, in which were the golden figures, and set them upon the great stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices on that day to the Lord. They did it on that day. The Israelites gave God offerings on the same day that the ark returned. And when God does something to bless us, it is good for us to respond to Him immediately with thanksgiving and whatever else we feel like we can do to show our appreciation. It's good to do it right away, not to put it off. 16. And when the five lords of the Philistines saw it, they returned that day to Ekron. The Philistines watched until they were satisfied that they had done the correct thing. And they knew. They knew they had to watch because they knew they would not have peace of mind about their own situation until they had satisfied God, and they were sure of it. And the Bible says, there is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. Verse 17. These are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned as a guilt offering to the Lord. One for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, one for Ekron. Verse 18, also the golden mice according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords, both fortified cities and unwalled villages. The great stone beside which they set down the ark of the Lord is a witness to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh. And I just wanted to point out that God struck the fortified cities of the Philistines with that judgment, as well as the unwalled villages. God struck even the fortified cities because there are no defenses against God's punishments. None. You can put on a suit of armor, and it won't stop God's punishment from getting you. God's punishments pursue, and they strike, no matter where the sinner hides. You know, repentance and confession. Those are the only things that can stop his punishment from hitting. Verse 19, and he slew some of the men of Beth Shemesh because they looked into the ark of the Lord. He slew 70 men of them, and the people mourned because the Lord had made a great slaughter among the people. No one, not even the priests, were supposed to touch the ark itself. And they certainly were not supposed to look inside of it. But that's what these guys did. These Israelites did it. They had become way too familiar with God, way too chummy with Almighty God. They did not respect Him the way they should have. And God struck some of them dead for being that way. And that has happened today in many places in evangelicalism. People are just becoming way too familiar and chummy with God. And yes, He is our Father. And all that is true. But He's still holy. And that fear of the Lord has been lost in a lot of places. Sad to say. He's not the big guy upstairs, but that's how he is treated. 20 of the men of Beth Shemesh said, who is able to stand before the Lord, this holy God, and to whom shall he go up away from us? Now, who can talk, or who can stand before this holy God? So they're talking as if God's holiness was the problem. They're talking as if it was God's fault, because he was so holy, that these guys died for looking into the ark. God did not kill them because he was holy. God killed them because they were bad. It's not God's fault that people go to hell. People don't go to hell because God is holy. People go to hell because they are bad and they refuse to repent and they refuse the Savior. 21. So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kiriath-Jearim, saying, the Philistines have returned the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up to you. The Israelites are tossing the ark around like it was a hot potato also, like the Philistines did. Everywhere the ark went, there was trouble. There was trouble, not because the ark was there. There was trouble because the people did not respect God. The presence of God is never the problem. The presence of sin in people, that is always the problem. Chapter 7, verse 1. And the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab on the hill. And they consecrated his son Eleazar to have charge of the ark of the Lord. They consecrate Eleazar in order to qualify him to take care of the ark. Well, I guess they learned that lesson. You don't want to minister to that ark or minister to God or around that ark if you're not consecrated totally to the Lord. Those 70 men who died because they were careless taught them a lesson. And so in order to do this important job for God, Eleazar is consecrated. He has to be holy and separated from the things of the world that might compromise his morals. Verse 2. It says, from the day that the ark was lodged at Kiriath-Jearim, a long time passed, some 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. They lamented after the Lord. They were sad because God seemed so far away, but God did not go anywhere. They did. They were the ones who were far from God. God was not far from them. God was just a prayer away if they would just totally repent and turn to Him. That's the way it always is. Verse 3, then Samuel said to all the house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. In other words, you know, he says, you Israelites, you're talking about how much you miss God and how much you respect God. Well, if that's true, if you really do, then get serious about God. Get serious about Him. If you want God's power and presence and fellowship in your life, you really want it bad, well, then get rid of all moral compromise. That's the message. Verse 4. So Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. They served God only. And that's the only way you can serve God, is if you serve Him only. God will accept no rivals to first place in our lives. If someone is serious about God, they will turn away from all known sins. Verse 5, Then Samuel said, Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. The people needed the prayers of their spiritual leader Samuel. Now, they had determined to walk in the will of God, which is great, but they needed prayer to strengthen them to do it. Good intentions are wonderful, but they should be backed with prayer. Verse 6. So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. The water they poured was symbolic of repentance. And that's what they were doing. They were repenting. You can tell. They didn't eat. They fasted. They didn't justify any of their sins. They didn't eat and justify. They fasted and confessed. They emptied themselves of themselves before God and repented with humility. And the pouring out of the water was symbolic of that humble attitude. 7. Now, when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel, and the people of Israel heard of it. And they were afraid of the Philistines. The Israelites were afraid of the Philistines. And that's because they haven't been walking with the Lord like they should have been. Because Deuteronomy 1:17 says, Do not be afraid of any man. God told His people, Do not be afraid of any man. The only one that you really need to fear is God. If you fear God, if you respect God, He will take care of you. So you don't have to even think about fearing man. And the Israelites must learn that once again. Verse 8. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, Do not cease to cry to the Lord our God for us, that He may save us from the hand of the Philistines. The Israelites did not want a simple little prayer from Samuel. They wanted him to labor in prayer on their behalf. They didn't want a simple prayer. They wanted him to do a spiritual filibuster before God on their behalf. They wanted Samuel to plead with God for them in prayer. Sometimes, you know, 3-hour fathers just doesn't cut it. Sometimes we must labor in prayer. Verse 9. So Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried to the Lord for Israel and for the Lord to answer him. It says the Lord answered him. Sorry, the Lord answered him. Samuel cried out to the Lord and the Lord answered him. And it also said that Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And a burnt offering symbolized the total dedication of the offerer to God. And the people, you know, they had prayed for a closer walk with God, and they asked Samuel to pray. And even as they prayed, what happened? The Philistines attacked. And as a result, Israel had no choice but to draw closer to God. When we pray for a closer walk with God, we should not be surprised if we experience trouble, because that sometimes propels a Christian into that closer walk with God that they long for. Verse 10. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty voice that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were routed before Israel. God knows how to answer our prayers. He knows what will work. And notice what He did here. He released thunderclaps that were so loud that they threw the Philistines into a panic. They were so shook up they couldn't even fight, so Israel easily defeated them. 11. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them as far as below Beth-Kar. Israel pursued the Philistines from point A to point B, and they were running for their lives, and you could have followed the trail because it was laced with dead Philistines along the way as God gave the Israelites, His people, victory because of their prayer, because of their repentance. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Jeshimnah, and called its name Ebenezer, for he said, "Hitherto the Lord has helped us." And so the stone that the Israelites set up was a memorial to God's goodness. And we've seen this so many times in the Old Testament. Just God doing something, answering a prayer, whatever, and he instructs his people to set up a memorial. It's good to keep track of the things which God has done for us. If we don't, we're likely to soon forget just how much God cares. And oftentimes, that forgetfulness can lead to sin. 13. So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And so Samuel was a godly man who led the people well, and God gave him success. Walking with God doesn't mean that we will not experience any bad, but it does mean that there will be some spiritual fruit in the midst of that bad. There will be success in the midst of the sorrow. Verse 14. It says, the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, and Ekron to Gath. And Israel rescued their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. And so Israel, notice, took back territory that the enemy had stolen. God has not promised any sort of material restoration for repentance today. He hasn't promised that to Christians if they will repent and follow Him. But He has promised us immediate and full spiritual restoration the moment we repent and confess, and that's even better. 15. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. Samuel did all that his mother dedicated him to God to do when he was first born. Samuel lived that out. Verse 16. And he went on a circuit year by year to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah. And he judged Israel in all these places. Samuel went to where the people were. He settled their disputes and answered their questions. He was a servant of God, so he was a giver. People who walk with the Lord live to give, not to receive. 17. Then he would come back to Ramah, for his home was there, and there also he administered justice to Israel, and he built there an altar to the Lord. Samuel always found a way to get home regularly, and God recognizes that home is a good thing. It should be, anyway. It should be a refuge, a place of support, a place to go and regroup spiritually and other ways also. People need that. Next time we will pick up our study in chapter 8. Until then, so long everyone.